Ed and Cam, a nice time Wednesday night. I enjoyed that. Some time ago, the Lord spoke to me about restoring three feasts. Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And as far as I could remember, we had never really set aside a special time just to celebrate Pentecost. We celebrated Pentecost because the church always celebrates Pentecost on Sunday, but there is some special times. And you have to know, if you just, it doesn't take any kind of a scholar to look a little bit and realize that Jesus actually died on Passover. Okay. The Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost. Something's going to happen on the Feast of Tabernacles, I guarantee it. Someday. And I believe it's the return of the Lord. The great event. The great and terrible day of the Lord. So, Father, we just look to you and pray. Help us, Lord, to get to know the Holy Spirit even better than we do. That we might come into all truth and learn about all that you have for us. All that you intended for us, Lord. Now that we have been joined with you again, and we've been reconciled with you, and you gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. So help us. We're desperately in need of all that you have, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Pentecost, 50 days. It's 50 days after Passover. So I was looking, you know, and there's quite a discrepancy. How many of you ever tried to study to see if Moses actually gave the law on Pentecost? Anybody ever tried to figure that one out? If you just look at it up front, it looks impossible that they could have done that just by the dates that are mentioned. But then there's some other people that have looked at it a little closer and actually feel that when God spoke the law first, before he wrote it on tablets, he actually spoke it to the people of Israel. And that speaking of the law could have happened 50 days after they left from Passover, from the day of Passover. So whether it didn't or not, I guess it's probably not that big a thing. But there are some very striking similarities or comparisons to make about that. The law was given to help guide Israel, to help keep them in check, to help let them know who God was. The Holy Spirit was given for the same purpose, only in a much greater measure. The Holy Spirit was given to reveal God to us and to lead us into all truth. And it says, in fact, that all those who are led by the Spirit, the same are the children of God. So, the Spirit, it just makes sense. Kind of. But there's another little striking thing, and if you've noticed, that when the law was given, the scripture says 3,000 people were killed, died. When the Spirit was given, the same number, 3,000, were saved. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life. I mean, there's some similarities there. So, this Holy Spirit, whom we have, My intent today is to help kind of see how I view the Holy Spirit and what kind of a person he is. Okay? What his purpose was for us. Because I'll tell you, without the Holy Spirit, we probably are in trouble. But with the Holy Spirit, we're in good shape. First of all, it says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And will testify also, and you will testify also because you've been with me from the beginning. I want you to catch on to that phrase, and he will testify about me. Kind of hold that. Do you suppose that's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit? That he's going to testify about Jesus. Okay. You see, you might, if you don't grab on to the purpose why the Father sent the Holy Spirit, then you can get a different readout of the Holy Spirit. And you can have the Holy Spirit doing things that he wasn't sent to do. So, if that's his job, it's probably also, it says, will be our job that we will testify about Jesus. In fact, there it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness, my testimony. You're going to witness of me, both in Jerusalem and Judea. But it was the Holy Spirit that was going to enable us to be that, have that testimony. It says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So it's important that we know that the Holy Spirit was given for that. John 14, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring back to remembrance all that I said to you. Okay? This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. Testifying of Jesus, bringing back to remembrance what Jesus has done, encouraging us, letting us know about Jesus. Just a little definition here in the Strong's Concordance. He's an advocate. That word, paraclete, but it means an advocate, an intercessor, a consoler. Okay, that's not counselor, it's consoler. Comforter and helper. That's what that word means. Okay? One thing that isn't listed there is fault finder. That's good news, by the way. The Holy Spirit is not a fault finder. He could, but that's not his purpose, okay? His purpose isn't to be a fault finder. Of course, if we make the Holy Spirit out to be a fault finder, that gives us permission to do the same. Because what he does, that's what we get to do. And he doesn't say that he's an officer of the law. You ever notice when you're driving down the road and you see an officer of the law parked alongside the road? Some of us put on our seatbelt. Some of us slow down. But I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit, it didn't say that he was an officer of the law. How many of you ever looked at the Holy Spirit as an officer of the law? You know, it's just how we look at the Holy Spirit. We want to look at him in the right way and in the right context. So I want you to know, if you're being led by the Spirit, you're not going to be an accuser, you're not going to be a fault finder, you're not going to be an officer of the law, because the Holy Spirit isn't those things. Okay, so I get to my text. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. No, I forgot a word, didn't I? Did anybody catch that I forgot a word when I said that? And when he comes, he will convict the world, what's that next word? Concerning sin. And righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and he'll see me no more. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So he's coming to convince us about the testimony of Jesus concerning these things. He's coming to bring the testimony of Jesus concerning sin, the testimony of Jesus concerning righteousness, and the testimony of Jesus concerning judgment. And if you just think about it, all three of those things were handled at the cross. Sin, righteousness, and judgment were all part of the accomplishment of the finished work of Christ on the cross. But many people want to leave out the word concerning. They just want to say he's going to convict us of sin. So I'm going to go down the track of that the Holy Spirit really wants to convince us. He wants to convince the world what Jesus did at the cross. The Holy Spirit has come to convince the world what Jesus did at the cross. He's come to be the announcer and the convincer of what Jesus did at the cross concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. Because that's what it says. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. He's coming to bring us to a place where we can believe what Jesus has done. We want to know what Jesus has done. He's the answer to sin. He's going to bring back to remembrance what Jesus said. A lot of people, when they think about sin, automatically get fear in their heart and worry about being caught. Anybody like that? Worrying about getting caught. Worrying about getting found out. Oh my goodness. If anybody really knew what kind of a rotten person I was, they wouldn't like me at all. And we actually drive the church into a place where they want to cover up sin. Because they really don't believe what Jesus did at the cross. We really don't believe that we've been set free. You know, God sees all your sin, every bit of it. His eyes are not blind. You know, He can see it all. But the Scripture says that I'm going to blot out your sin and I'll remember it no more. Is that a true statement or is it not a true statement? Does God, when He blots out the sin, does it come back again later? Or is it gone? Is Jesus' blood good enough concerning your sin? Well, that's good for me. Now I'm going to ask you a harder question. Is Jesus' blood good enough for everybody else's sin? Or do we need to finish the finished work of Christ? Are we going to finish it for Him? Do you have something special that you can do? Or do you have something special you expect one another to do to finish the finished work of Christ? I don't think we can do any more. Does God? Well, the Bible says this. From now on, we're going to see no man according to the flesh. I want to ask you, does God hold Himself to that for you? Does God see you according to the flesh? Or does God see you according to the new creation? That's a good question you can ask yourself. Does He see you according to who you have become in Christ? Or does He view you according to who you were before you were born again? How does He view you? You can only love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you haven't come to love yourself, it's pretty hard to love your neighbor. It's pretty hard to see your neighbor the way God, I believe, sees him. Jesus had not died on the cross when He spoke this statement. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What did God love? What did He love so much in man when we know that it says that, what? In my flesh lies no good thing. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What was He seeing? Even before you were born again, what did He see? That's good news. That He had a love because He saw what was to be. He was speaking into being those things that weren't as if they were. That's how He operates. How can we operate? How do we operate with one another? But what is the Spirit doing for us? I believe the Spirit is wanting to convince us of these things. He did not come to judge us according to our sin, but to remove our sin from us and set us free. A couple of years back, I had cancer. Those are disconcerting words when you hear the word you have cancer. The good news is all these sicknesses that we face on this earth, God was victorious over them all. And whether we beat the cancer or not isn't the end of the day. The end of the day is whether we know Jesus Christ as Lord. Because I was at Chuck's meeting. This guy is preaching, and he's got a little squirt bottle that just gives out a poof. And he says, "Life is but a mist," and then it would fall to the ground. We make such a big deal out of this mist. But it was good news. The day the doctor says, "We got it, and we removed it from you," and he afterwards said, "I give you about a 2% chance of dying from prostate cancer." That was pretty good. 98% chance of not dying from prostate cancer. You'll probably die from something else, he said. But I think we've taken care of this. I'm letting you know that when Jesus died at the cross, he removed it perfectly. The margins were really good. He took your flesh out completely. A circumcision done without hands of your heart. Wow. I'm free. I had this no good cancer in me called the flesh, and Jesus removed it. But he did a good job. He did a good job. But there's a little glitch in the story here, because when he removed that, I died. There was nothing left in me. He removed the whole life. He removed everything. So what's left in me Well, I can tell you what's left. It's a clean temple, ready to receive the life of Jesus. For until I died, until Jesus removed from me that old flesh, I could not receive the new life. But he didn't stop there at the cross, and he didn't stop because he died. He went into the tomb, and he come back out of the tomb. A life-giving spirit, which we have received his life. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to tell you concerning sin. That's the message concerning sin. If you have a different gospel, repent. If you have a different understanding, repent. Because Jesus took away the sin of the whole world. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the whole world. And like Jay Bunker put it so eloquently, when they brought the lamb to the priest, if you brought the lamb, you're the sinner, right? You bring the lamb. Forget about you. I want to check the lamb out. Yep, you got a good lamb. Your sins are gone. He didn't even look at the guy. He didn't look at the sinner. When are we going to stop looking at sinners? And when are we going to start looking at the lamb? The one that took away the sin of the whole world. You know, there's a couple parts there, but actually his blood that was shed, that removed the offense in heaven. That was the atonement. You had an offense in heaven. You had a record against you concerning sin. The blood paid the penalty for the offense and satisfied the Father in heaven concerning your sin. The death he died also removed the flesh and circumcised your heart. So the blood was shed but satisfied heaven. The death you died with Christ took away the flesh. That's what it says in Colossians, the removal of the body of sin from you. And then you were baptized with him in his death. So you got sin, righteousness, and judgment all finished at the cross. My goodness. I think I've already covered this, but we'll see. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Have you ever been in a battle? You ever thought a battle? I've been in a battle, but if you've never been in a battle or some war, and you got two sides, you got captains, and so the captain's watching the army and he sees every one of his soldiers killed, not one remaining. Would you say the battle's over? Huh? When Jesus died, all died. He put the death, the works, and he destroyed the works of the devil. Once and for all, at the cross, he destroyed the works of the devil. Judgment comes upon him. All those who believe in Jesus receive eternal life. But I'll tell you, the world needs to know that whoever does not accept Jesus Christ as Lord has one place to go, and that's the same place the devil is going, into the lake of fire. Unless you receive the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will perish. I mean, there's no other way. Because the work at the cross did two things. It was an aroma of death to those that are perishing, and aroma of life to those who are being saved. The cross settled the issue. Once and for all. The Holy Spirit comes to bear witness to Jesus. Concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father. This word righteousness. God made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Pharisees' righteousness was based on the law. What's our righteousness based on? Christ in me. My righteousness is based on him. Jesus in me. We have the righteousness of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. You want to get righteousness? Seek him. He is the righteous one. To have righteousness, you need him. John 5:20 says this, For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow, you better have some other kind of righteousness here. What was he speaking of? Get it better? When he says, you know, you say if a man commits adultery, I say if you just lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Do you suppose if you could get that one right and all the rest of them that you'd be righteous? Oh, I don't even think about that. I cleaned it all up. I've got it now. I'm mature. So when I look at women, I don't. That makes me righteous, right? Baloney. You have righteousness because of Jesus. One righteousness, and that was because Him. God made Him who knew no sin to become sin on your behalf so that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your righteousness is based on His work, not yours. The only thing Jesus was saying to the Pharisees in all of that, you think the law I gave you is bad? There's way more. Your offense goes way more than that. It's way worse than you think it is. You're way worse off than you thought you were. I mean, you barely kept the Ten Commandments, but I'm telling you, there's more. There's a bigger offense in heaven than just that. You need a different righteousness here. You need a righteousness that's based on me and what I did. Now that's the righteousness that sets you free. The Holy Spirit come to convince you of that righteousness. He come to convict you of that right concerning that righteousness. To enter the kingdom of God, flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Concerning judgment. Was there a judgment? Has judgment already come? Now we know that there's a judgment day, right? How many believe there's going to be a judgment day? Yeah? Okay. The judgment that the Holy Spirit is convincing us of here is not that there isn't going to be a judgment day or that that's not coming. But this one has to do with because the ruler of this world has been judged. On the cross, Jesus brought judgment to all concerning sin. Did you know that you paid? Some people want to say that Jesus paid the price, and He did, by the shedding of His blood. But I want to let you know that you didn't get off the hook. You did not get off the hook. You didn't go scot-free. No. He took you with Him to the cross. You went with Him to the cross. You didn't get to stay home and send Him to the cross and everything was good. No, He took you with Him. And if you don't have that revelation, you know, you almost need revelation to know that when I died, when Christ died, I died. When He was put to death on the cross, I died. I died. When He said to Adam, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Well, Adam and Eve ate of the tree. They didn't die. They continued right on. But did they die? Did they really die? Did Christ, when He died, put to death that which was begun in the first creation, Adam, and start a new creation in Christ? When He died, all died. Everybody was under control of the devil. But after the cross, the devil had no one left to control. So why do we say, I'm having such a tough time with Satan? Satan's bugging me all the time. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that's going to lead us into all what? Truth. What does it say of Satan? That he is the father of lies. Lies. Do you suppose that he's still lying to us? Suppose he still tells us falsehoods? Tells us that you're still under his control somehow? But the Spirit comes to tell you the truth, and the truth is that he has lost control over all people. He's lost control. It's over. He has nothing left. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. He's been dethroned. All of his prisoners are dead. The only way you can get set free is what? To die. For unless you die, you don't get to be joined to another. So the Holy Spirit is at work to bring many souls to glory. He is at work to remind us of the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Satan is the father of lies. We need to be careful not to attribute Satan's lies to the work of the Spirit. Don't let Satan tell us a lie and then we're going to turn around and say that's the work of the Spirit. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He can have a real good time accusing a dead man. You ever tried to accuse somebody who's dead? You did it! When you're dead, you're dead. He who is dead is free from sin. So there was a rescue that was going on by our American troops to some people who had been put in captivity for a long time. I don't know if it was Iran or someplace where they're in jail a long time and they were being beaten, and they come in and they took care of the enemy. They opened the prison doors and all these people are huddled in there, and they come in there with their weapons and guns and says, come on, let's go. And these guys just sat there. They just sat there. And they wouldn't go. They didn't have any trust that this was something real. One guy got an idea. And he started taking off all of his armor. He stripped himself of everything, his grenades and everything else. Got rid of it all. And he went and sat next to the kids, next to the guys. And then he put his arms around one guy and says, I'm here. I'm your brother. We're from America. We're here to set you free. I just want to let you know, I'm just like you. And he hugged him. And the guy finally believed him. I want you to grab that on as a picture of the Holy Spirit coming to take us. He's coming to reveal the Father to us. A Father that loves us. A Father that wants to rescue us. A Father that wants to take us back to Himself. He's for us. The Holy Spirit is not someone who's against you. He's for you. The work of the cross was for you. Jesus died for you. It was for us. So, when you think of the Holy Spirit, I want you to have a picture of the Holy Spirit that's not someone that's coming to expose you. Not someone who's coming to, but someone who's coming to bring you home. Now, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, and a lot of things that since I've been born again, since I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of things that I thought were okay. But the Holy Spirit has revealed to me that those things aren't okay. Okay? But I do know this, that there's no more work that has to be done to complete Steve Thompson other than me coming to the realization of what God has done for me. So when the Holy Spirit says, Steve, that is not good, I need to just then say, agree with God and say, you're right, that's not good. That is not good. And when I agree with God, that's confessing my sin. Okay? When you agree with God concerning that isn't good, that's confessing its sin and reckoning it dead as part of the old nature. And then accept what Jesus has done for you at the cross. And when you can accept that for yourself, hopefully you can accept it for everybody else. And know that that's good news for all. Good news for the church, good news for the people of God, good news for the world. So, hopefully, you get a picture of the Holy Spirit that's not this bad person coming out to get you. He's here to comfort, to help, to console. That's what the Bible says. And I'm going with that for what I believe the Holy Spirit is. Amen? Lord, thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the good news of Jesus Christ into our lives. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for all that you have done, Lord, so that we can accept, that we can be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so that we can be a people who've been freed from sin. And we know that the judgment has come upon the works of the devil once and for all. And that, Lord, that we who believe in you will not come under the condemning judgment that's already been issued to Satan. We won't come under that if we believe in you. But that sentencing will happen. Lord, thank you for setting us free, that we will not be in that sentence. We have not entering into that part. The judgment came upon us, but then we were born again, and now we have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord, for all that you have done for us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.